الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt, dimension and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers in Islam, we continue with the Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, and we have been dealing recently with the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates having equals and frees themselves from any deficiencies. And the 7th and the 8th verses which Imam Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah quoted were: تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion, which is that which makes a distinction between the truth and the falsehood, upon his slave in order for him to be a warner to mankind. الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض, the one to whom belongs the dominions of the heavens and the earth, and he did not take up a son, nor does he have any partners in his sovereignty or in his dominion, and he created everything and he gave it its due proportion, he measured it according to its due measurement. Different ways of translating it. This is Surah Al-Furqan, verses 1 and 2. تبارك بمعنى تعالى وتعاظم. The word Tabarak means exalted and magnified. والذي الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده هو الله عز وجل. The one who sent down the Furqan is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقوله الفرقان يعني به القرآن. And the Furqan here means Quran. The Furqan is the Quran. لأنه يفرق بين الحق والباطل, because it makes a distinction between the truth and the falsehood, وبين المسلم والكافر, and between the believer and the disbeliever, وبين البر والفاجر, and between the righteous and the wicked, وبين الضار والنافع, and between that which is beneficial and that which is harmful, وغير ذلك مما فيه الفرقان فكله فرقان, and other matters where the Quran is a criterion between these two opposites, if we may say. So the Quran is a furqan in this sense, and furqan means criterion, from the word farq, farqa, to make a distinction, to divide, to separate, right? على عبده, who's عبده here? عليه السلام. وعليكم السلام. هو عبده نزل الفرقان على عبده, upon his slave, محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. فوصفه بالعبودية في مقام التحدث عن تنزيل القرآن عليه, وهذا المقام من أشرف مقامات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Allah عز وجل described him with servitude in the context of speaking, in the context of sending down the Quran. In the context of sending down the Quran, he described him as a abd. And the Shaykh said, and this status of the Prophet ﷺ is the most honorable of all when he's being described as a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلِهَذَا وَصَفَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالْعُبُودِيَةِ فِي مَقَامِ تَنْزِيلِ الْقُرْآنِ عَلَيْهِ كَمَا هُنَا وكما في قوله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب. This is why you find that Allah described him, gave him the title of servitude in all the various honorable situations or contexts, one of which is sending down the Quran, like in the ayah which we quoted, and the other ayah in Surah Al-Kahf. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب. All praise is due to Allah who sent down upon his servant the book. ووصفه بالعبودية في مقام الدفاع عنه والدفاع عنه والتحدي. And Allah described him in the context of servitude, when Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to mention how he defended him and how Allah challenged his enemies, where he said, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. And if you are in doubt concerning that which we have sent down upon our slave, مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. So when he wanted to mention that Allah sent down the Quran, he said عَبْدِنَا. When he wanted to defend him عليه الصلاة والسلام, بارك الله فيك, from any kind of accusations or those who claim falsehood or deny that he was has received the Quran, Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. Pay attention to the wordings here. We're looking for the word عبد. طيب. وَوَصَفَهُ بِالْعُبُودِيَّةِ فِي مَقَامِ تَكْرِيمِهِ بِالْمِعْرَاجِ. And when Allah wanted to honor him with the ascension to the heavens, he also described him as عبد. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام. Then glory be to the one who had who caused this slave to ascend in the night from the Masjid al-Haram, of course, ila Masjid al-Aqsa, until the end of the ayat. وَقَالَ فِي سُورَةِ النَّجْمِ فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. So he revealed unto his servant what he revealed. So if you look at that, you find that every time the context had to honor the Prophet ﷺ, the title given to him was what? Abd. Not Rasul, not Nabi, right? Not Malik, right? A king or something along these lines. The ultimate description given to him in the context of honoring him was Ubudiyya, servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مما يدل على أن وصف الإنسان بالعبودية لله يعد كمالا. Which indicates that if a person is described with servitude to Allah, then this is means of perfection. This is means of goodness. لأن العبودية لله هي حقيقة الحرية. Because servitude to Allah is in fact freedom, liberation. One is liberated from oppression, from servitude to others, while establishing servitude to Allah. Even though these believers may claim otherwise, and they will say, you know, they may have some comments against Islam, and you will hear some, you know, sometimes when you tell a kafir that you know, the purpose of life is to worship Allah, you will find some who will say, why? You know, why? Why does God need us to worship Him? Why do we have to worship God? Well, and they will get with all these, you know, rational points that are senses, of course. And then you may get puzzled. How do I explain to this person, you know, why? You know, why, you know, worship Allah? Now, to you, this is something very common, very logical, very normal. There's nothing wrong with it. For a Catholic, this is outlandish. But then how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? A kafir says, why does God want you to worship Him? You're saying your God is self-sufficient. Huh? So what is this point? Why are you worshiping God? Why would He create us and make us worship Him? Okay, still.
There is Quran ayah. We created Him.
Ibrahim, you're talking to a kafir. He's like, he's like, I have a problem with you and your Quran. If your Quran is teaching that, then I really don't want to believe in it now. So how do you deal with that?
To distinguish between good and evil,
how about this?
To purify, that means to differentiate with the best upon the creation.
Yeah, okay. But I'm saying this is all correct.
Yeah.
But here's what you can say. Possibly you may disagree with me. I'm totally fine. This is my view. I may be wrong in it. We have to explain to these people that when we were created with the tendency to worship. The question is, what are you worshiping? Not why do you worship. You worship because as a human being, this is something instilled in you. That's why you have people, you know, they say my idol is this singer, or people adore something of the creation. People have the tendency to submit to something. This is the way people were created. So this, you leave alone. Don't ask why. You are living it right now. There's no point in you going back and trying to change it. There's nothing you can do about it. This is a fact that you're experiencing. The question is, what are you worshipping? So here, the true believers worship the one who deserves to be worshipped. Whereas those who don't worship Allah, they are worshipping some false god, one way or another. So then what is blameworthy and what is praiseworthy? Worshipping the true God or worshipping the false gods? Ultimately worshipping the true God, which is what Islam teaches. So then the point is, if you're not worshipping the true God, then you're worshipping something else. Because you were created with the natural disposition to worship. Don't deny it. And if you don't believe me, if you still insist, after I explain to you the truth, that you're not worshipping anything, then you're worshipping your own ideas. You are so conceited, so arrogant, that you believe your thoughts are a god. That's why everything is presented to you as evidence from God that this is the truth. You reject it, this is your god. You are your god. So you're worshipping something. You follow me? So there's no escape from that. There's no escape from that. Ultimately, and Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you not seen the one who has taken his own desires as his god? This is what it is. Either they're worshipping a false god in some idol, statue, angel, so on and so forth. Or the last is that they're worshipping their ideas. They think they're so intelligent that they don't need God and they don't have to believe in God and they can reject the truth which God sent down and they can only accept whatever their minds have fabricated. This is worshipping oneself. So they are still in the area, in the ring of servitude. So then the difference is, alhamdulillah, that the Muslims are serving the one who deserves to be worshipped. So this is honor. Allah doesn't need us. We are in need of Allah, as the brother mentioned, as the other explanation, in order for the test to be established upon earth. Ultimately, these are among the wisdoms behind it. But you're here now, just don't worship the false god. Don't sit there and wonder who, why, this and that. Worship the one who deserves to be worshipped. So this is only one possible refutation, and you may think of something better, of course. إذن فمن لم يتعبد له كان عابدا لغيري. So what is the bottom line? If you're not worshipping Allah, then you're worshipping something else. Ultimately, قال ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى هربوا من الرق الذي خلقوا له وبلوا برق النفس والشيطان. They tried to escape the servitude which they were created for, and so they were afflicted with the servitude to their own selves and the shaitan. They tried to run away from the servitude to Allah which they were created for, and they fell into the servitude to their own selves and their shayateen. And so they fell into another form of servitude. That's what the point is. They came out of the true servitude right into the false servitude. But they were never able to escape the servitude. That's what I'm saying. There's no escape. You were created as a servant. What do you, or how does that manifest in your life? To who is this servitude established? This is the point of distinction between the creation. Otherwise, there's no one except that he's worshipping something. Even ideas, like some of the Buddhists, among the Buddhist sects, are those who worship the law of cause and effect. They don't worship Buddha as an idol himself. They worship the law of cause and effect. They think this is such a great thing, that you spill water and water will be spilled, right? You do this and this you retrieve. Whatever you produce and whatever you retrieve, to them this is an amazing reality of life, which they make it as an independent god. And so they worship it, chanting for hours, you know, Namyo Horengekyo, to this, yes, don't worry about it, to this idea, believing that they will be able to change their karma. And they'll be able to deal and interact with this god, which is the cause of law and effect, through their interaction with this chanting. That's what they believe. So they're not stuck on the idol of Buddha. They don't even have it in their temples, right? He's out of the picture. It's these thoughts which they're worshipping. So they worship ideologies. You see the point? Then people are worshipping, and they believe that they don't believe in God. To them, they don't believe in God. These Buddhists, if you were to speak to them, say there's no God. But what is their God in fact? The law of cause and effect, which they have made as their God. That's why they seek, you know, worship through it, they seek aid through it, they chant to it. So, you know, people are a servant one way or another. So if Allah made you a servant of His, you should be happy before you go to sleep. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you before you go to bed, you pray Isha, worshipping Allah, not worshipping someone else. This is the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people before going to bed, they pray to a rabbit's foot, or some, you know, some crazy idol they have in their room, yes? Yeah, they sit down and kneel to this, you know, statue that is made of what and Allah knows what, and they go crash. They go sleeping in this fashion, believing that they're upon some religion. So alhamdulillah, Allah made us believers, and you know, Muslims. This is a big bounty from Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب. الرق الذي خلق له عبادة الله عز وجل. The servitude which we were created for. رق is slavery, by the way, just so you know, slavery. Then it is worshipping Allah, right? رقيق are the slaves. وبلوا برق النفس والشيطان حيث صاروا أرقاء لنفوسهم. And so they were afflicted or they were substituted with the servitude to themselves and to the shaitan, because they became slaves to their own selves and slaves to the shayateen. فَمَا مِنْ إِنسَانٍ يَفُرُّ مِنْ عُبُودِيَّةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَقَعَ فِي عُبُودِيَّةِ هَوَاهِ وَشَيْطَانِهِ. No servant escapes servitude to Allah except that he will fall into the servitude of his own self and his shaitan. قال الله تعالى أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم. Allah says, have you seen him who takes his own desires or his own lust as his God, and Allah allowed him or Allah led him astray upon knowledge. يعني the man knew that he was doing wrong and he was following his ways, and even though he decided to remain misguided and Allah misguided him, while this person knew that he's upon the travel, he's upon the path of deviance. نسأل الله العافية. قوله ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. اللام هنا للتعليل. والضمير في ليكون في ليكون عائد على النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لأنه أقرب مذكور. The lam in this one ليكون, so he may be, right? للتعليل, which is the reason, like the lamb of reason, meaning why was this done, in order for such and such and such. والضمير, and the pronoun here is referring back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's the closest thing mentioned. Now this is all technical, because in the ayah it says تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. It's a question. Blessed is he, right? وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله يرحمك الله. Blessed is he who sent down the Furqan upon his slave. So he may be a warner. The question is, which one is the one that's supposed to be a warner? The book, the Furqan, or the Prophet ﷺ, the Abid? Linguistically, in the language, when they want to identify this damir here, which one does it refer to? They go to the closest thing. So here it says, الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. على عبده is closer to the ليكون than الفرقان. So then they say ليكون here is not speaking about the Quran, it's speaking about the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. جميل. ولأن الله تعالى قال لتنذر به, and because Allah says in another ayah, so you may warn. The Prophet ﷺ is a warner with the Quran, so he's the warner. وقال تعالى لأنذركم به ومن بلغ, so I may warn you, right, and whoever receives the message. فالمنذر الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. The warner then is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقوله للعالمين. عالمين, what does it include?
Everything,
but particularly, because I mean the trees and the things and the creation, I mean they're already in the business of worshipping Allah. They don't need a prophet. Jinn and ins. Jinn and ins. Those who are accountable. The angels, done deal. The rest of the creation, done deal. Who are those who will be brought to account? The humans and the jinn. Okay, these are the ones accountable. So then the nidara or the warning is for them. Huh? It's for them. وَقَوْلُهُ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ تَقَدَّمَ مَعْنَاهَا. We have already discussed it before. You know, Allah Azza wa Jalla having the dominions of the heavens and the earth. وَقَوْلُهُ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ سَبَقَ مَعْنَاهَا. Also we explained it earlier. He did not take a son, nor does he have any partners sharing his dominion. Subhanahu. وَهُمَا صِفَةٌ سَلْبِيَةٌ, and it is a negating quality. وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا. الخلق الإيجاد على وجه معين. خلق is to bring something into existence in a particular way. والتقدير بمعنى التسوية أو بمعنى القضاء في الأزل والأول أصح. And تقدير meaning proportionalism, for something being proportional, like the human being, you know, فقدره, meaning he here doesn't mean the قدر, right? It means that he was formed in a particular way where he's proportional. His body, his head is in a particular place, his arms, it's just a perfect creation. ويدل لذلك قوله تعالى الذي خلق فسوى. And this is supported with the ayah in Surah Al-A'la, the one who created فسوى, he made proportional. وبه تكون الآية على الترتيب الذكري والمعنوي. وعلى الثاني تكون آية على الترتيب الذكري. And so then the sequence here has to deal with the timing and the meanings. Well, this is difficult to translate, so just pardon me. وعلى كل حال ونستفيد من هذه الآيات من الناحية المسلكية أنه يجب علينا أن نعرف عظمة الله عز وجل وننزهه عن كل نقص وإذا علمنا ذلك ازددنا محبة له وتعظيما. So what are the practical benefits that we deduce or derive from these ayat? First, that it is incumbent on all of us to identify the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we should free Him from any imperfection. If we truly have knowledge of that, we will increase our love to Allah Azza wa Jal, increase, and so is extolling Him and exalting Him. وَمِنْ آيَتَيِ الْفُرْقَانِ نَسْتَفِيدُ بَيَانْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. And from the two ayat, 1 and 2, quoted from Surah Al-Furqan, we benefit in terms of knowing the greatness of the Qur'an. وَأَنَّهُ مَرْجَعٌ لِلْعِبَادِ, that it is a reference for the slaves. وَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا أَرَادَ أَن تَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْأُمُورِ فَلْيَرْجَعْ إِلَى الْقُرْآنِ, that any human being, if he wants to have clarity concerning ambiguous matters, let him refer back to the Qur'an. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمَّهُ فُرْقَانًا, because Allah called it Furqan, a criterion. نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ, send down the criterion upon the slave. So anytime you are confused which way you want to go, you go back to the Qur'an. Now, unfortunately, what do many Muslims do? Ignorant Muslims. If they want to make a decision, you know this probably from before, they say they will open the Qur'an, and whatever page it comes on, right, they count a few lines down, they have a book which is, you know, it's like they use it as a horoscope kind of thing, right? So whatever they open, and if the ayah has some meaning of this nature, they will go for the thing. If it doesn't, then they will stop. So this is the concept of the Qur'an, make a distinction in their decision making, even though we have the istikhara. And this is, you know, from the works of the Chinese, and has nothing to do with Islam and Muslims. And others, you know, I've heard it from some of the du'at, you know, they use it to name their children. That's why you meet some brothers, you know, with the strangest names in the world. You know, names that are Islamically unacceptable, right? But whatever they open the Quran, any word that they find, khalas, this is going to be, we're going to call him Unas. So Unas, what did the brothers give him a chance? And some brother was telling us that they were looking, himself and his wife, they were looking in a website for a name for their child. And you know, one of these websites that don't know what they're doing. And so they saw the word munqati'ah. Munqati'ah. I'm not going to tell you what it is. So the wife liked it, said, MashaAllah, this is a beautiful name. And they named their daughter Munqati'ah. And so they were in the States. They went to, finally an Arab, you know, happened to be around, and he's meeting the family. He said, okay, what's, you know, your children's name? So he said, this is Ahmed, this Rabia, this Munqati'ah. I said, what did you say? He said, Munqati'ah. He said, may he grab the girl. He said, this girl has a right to be named something good. You know what Munqati'ah means? Cut off. Someone who's been cut off, yani someone who's thrown in the back, neglected, ignored, and munqati'ah from qata', and qata'a shay meaning to cut it off. So this is a horrible name for a girl or for anyone. But you know, that's what happens. And other people, you know, a brother said that he met a sister named An-Naml, because they just happened to open Surah An-Naml. Another one named An-Nahl, another one is named Bismillah. You know, Bismillah, can you please come over here? See, some strange stuff that the Muslims do. But unfortunately, this is what the Quran is used for, right? They put a nice fancy covering and they leave it on, you know, the top shelf, because the Quran is the highest thing. And you know, it sits there all year until Ramadan. You know, Ramadan, it will go down a little bit, blow off the dust, read some ayah. I'm going to put it back. Khalas, that's the Quran. This is the relation between the Muslims and the Quran. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ نَصَى اللَّهِ الْعَافِيَ. So, na'am. But if you really want to be guided, then you have to read the Quran and know what the ayat are speaking about. And if you cannot do that, and we cannot do that, we need to refer back to the tafasir. And so if you have, you know, this is necessary. And if you want to come to the Friday class where we do that, at least we translate the tafsir of the ulama, then this will be beneficial, inshallah, so you know what the ayat are speaking about. على كل حال. ونستفيد أيضا من الناحية المسلكية التربوية أن تتأكد وتزداد محبتنا أو محبتنا لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث كان عبدا لله قائما بإبلاغ الرسالة وإنذار الخلق. Also, among the practical benefits that have to do with behavior, I guess, is the fact that we should be firm and increase our love to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was a servant of Allah, he was a slave of Allah, and he was striving to convey Allah's message and warn mankind. Right? So this is the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونستفيد أيضا من أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم آخر الرسل فلا نصدق بأي دعوة للنبوة من بعده لقوله للعالمين ولو كان بعده رسول لكان تنتهي رسالته بهذا الرسول ولا كانت العالمين كلهم. And another benefit is that we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last of the messengers, and we will not believe of any prophet who will come and claim prophethood afterwards, because Allah said that he is the alameen to jinn and ins. Had there been a messenger after him, لَكَانَ تَنْتَهِ رِسَلَةُ بِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ, then that message will be terminated with that following messenger, and it wouldn't be for all mankind. So because he was sent to jinn and ins, khalas, because usually the prophets were not sent to everyone, they were sent to their respective nations. Each one was sent to his own people. So he alayhi salatu salam was sent universally. He's the universal messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course we have another ayah, walakin rasulullah wa khatam an-nabiyyin, but nay, he is the messenger of Allah and the seal or the final of all the prophets. And so khalas, it's all over. Al-ayah at-tasi'ah wal-ashira, the 9th and the 10th verses. قوله ما اتخذ الله من ولد وما كان معه من إله إذا لذهب كل إله بما خلق ولا على بعضهم على بعض سبحان الله عما يصفون عالم الغيب والشهادة فتعالى عما يشركون. No son or offspring did Allah beget, nor is there any other God along with him, because if there was another God, then each one would take what he created on his own, and they would go and compete against one another. There would be a competition between the gods. Subhanallah amma yasifun, glory be to Allah concerning that which they ascribe to him. The knower of the ghaib, the unseen, was shahada, that which is seen. Fata'ala amma yushrikun, so exalted is he above that which they associate as partners to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 91 and 92. And Surah Al-Mu'minun is among the most beautiful chapters in the Quran in terms of the, this is something else, subhanallah. ينفي الله تعالى في هذه الآية أن يكون اتخذ ولدا أو أن يكون معه إله. So Allah negates in this ayah the idea that he ever begot a son, or that there's another God along with him. ويتأكد هذا النفي بدخول من في قوله من ولد. And this is affirmed, or the emphasis is because of the negative particle. من ولد, right? No son, do not call him, يعني father. وقوله من إله لأن زيادة حرف الجر في سياق النفي ونحوه تفيد التوكيد. And as for saying من إله, the word من here, which is a preposition, حرف جر is a preposition, whenever it's mentioned in this context of negating it, the objective behind it is emphasis. To emphasize, min ilah meaning no God whatsoever, right? It's just to emphasize. فَقَوْلُهُ مَا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدٍ يعني مَصْطَفَى أَحَدًا يَكُونَ وَلَدًا لَهُ, meaning Allah did not choose anyone to be a son of his. لَا عُزَيْر, not the عُزَيْر of the Jews, وَلَا الْمَسِيح of the Christians, وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَ, and not the angels of the مُشْرِكِين, وَلَا غَيْرِهِمْ, and no one else. لِأَنَّهُ الْغَنِيَ عَمَّا سِوَهُ, because he is the self-sufficient of all. وإذا انتفى اتخاذه الولد فانتفاه أن يكون والدا من باب أولى. So if Allah negated him having a son, then the negation of him being a father is more understood. This cannot happen. وقوله من إله, إله بمعنى مألوه, مثل بناء بمعنى مبنى. إله means مألوه, that which is adored, that which is deified, that which is worshipped. That's what it means, إله. With the ma'luh, same thing. Like bina, construction, comes from mabna. This is all language. Wa firash, يعني مفروش, إلى آخره. فالإله بمعنى المألوه أي المعبود المتذلل له. So إله is anyone, whether a true God or a false God. Anyone who is worshipped and people show humiliation to. Right? Even false gods, that's what they are for their people. يعني ما كان معه من إله حق, meaning there was no true God with Allah. أما الآلهات الباطلة فهي موجودة. As for false gods, they do exist. They exist. لكن لكونها باطلة كانت كالعدم. But because they are false, it is equal to being non-existent. Because they're false gods, they're equal to not existing at all because they are false. فصح أن يقال ما كان مع الله من إله. So it is correct then to say that there's no gods with Allah, no true gods. Otherwise, there are false gods. False gods which Allah called إله in the Quran, right? Allah told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر. Do not make with Allah other gods. And he used ilahan, right? Allah acknowledged the fact that false gods exist because the people have turned them into gods. People have deified them. But in fact, they're a bunch of nothing. لَذَهَبَ إِذَنْ يَعْنِي لَوْ كَانَ مَعُ إِلَهِ. Had there been a god with Allah, لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقْ وَلَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. لَوْ كَانَ هُنَاكَ إِلَهٌ آخَرْ يُسَاوِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Had there been another god who's equal to Allah Azza wa Jal, لَكَانَ لَهُ مُلْكٌ خَاصٌ. He would have his own dominion, his own property. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكٌ خَاصٌ. And Allah would have his own dominion and his own property because he's equal with God. So if he's equal, that means he must be equal in everything. So if Allah had all these, you know, properties and he owns everything, so this other God who is equal to Allah should have the same. If he's not equal to Allah, then he's not a God anymore. So then, according to that rationale, this other God which we're hypothetically speaking now, should be equal to Allah. So then he should have his own dominion as well. Allah has his dominion and so does the other God. جيد. يعني الانفراد كل واحد منهم بما خلق. Because each one will have his own creation and so this is his own private, personal creation. هذا قال هذا خلقي لي وكذلك الآخر. And one will say this is my creation and the other one will say the same. وحينئذ يريد كل منهما أن يسيطر على الآخر كما جرت به العادة. If this was to be the case, two gods, each having his own dominion, because they're equals, each having his own creation, then naturally they would have to, each one now will try to compete or be dominant over the other, as it is the case. فملوك الدنيا كل واحد منهم يريد أن يسيطر على الآخر. The kings of this world, they're always trying to try to challenge each other and have one who's, you know, the top over the rest. وتكون المملكة كلها له. And then he will have the whole, you know, kingdom. The kingdom will belong to him. وحينئذ إما أن يتمانع فيعجز كل واحد منهما عن الآخر. Let's say they were to compete and they were, neither one of them was able to be victorious, right? Then what do we say? They're not gods anymore. Listen to the understanding. If they were to compete and neither one was victorious, can a god lose? Okay, God cannot lose. Okay, so we have a problem then. وَإِذَا عَجَزَ كُلُّ وَاحَدْ مِنْهُمَا عَلَى آخَرْ مَا صَحَ أَنْ يَكُونُ وَاحَدْ مِنْهُمَا إِلَهًا لِأَنَّ الْإِلَهَ لَا يَكُونُ عَاجِزًا. Right? So if one of them was, or both of them were to fail, then we can no longer describe them as gods because God can never be unable to do something. It's impossible. وَإِمَّا أَنْ يَعْلُوا أَحَدُهُمَا عَلَى الْآخَرْ فَالْعَالِي هُوَ الْإِلَهِ. Or one will be victorious over the other. And what is the conclusion? He is the true God. And the other one is no longer God. Can God be defeated? No. So then, whichever way you try to approach it, you will wind up that, rationally speaking, it could not be that there's more than one God. It could not be that there's more than one God. فترجع المسألة إلا أنه لا بد أن يكون للعالم إله واحد. So then we go back to the foundational principle that this universe must have a single God. ولا يمكن أن يكون العالم إلهان أبدا لأن القضية لا تخرج عن من هذين الاحتمالين. And it is impossible that there will be two gods, that this universe will have two gods ever, because we cannot leave one of these two options, which either they will, neither one of them will defeat the other one. These are not gods because they're incapable of defeating the others. Or one of them will be victorious and so he's the real God and the other one is down a drain. So then, you know, there's no third option. Or there's only one God, which is what logically and textually we believe, of course. كما أننا أيضا إذا شاهدنا الكون علوية وسفلية وجدنا أنه كون يصدر عن مدبر واحد. If we were also to observe this universe, the upper part of the universe and the lower one, we will find that everything that is taking place must be coming from one single arranger of affairs. وَإِلَّا لَكَانَ فِيهِ تَنَاقُدٌ. Otherwise there would be contradiction. فَأَحَدُ الْإِلَهَيْنِ يَقُولُ مَثَلًا أَنَا أُرِيدُ الشَّمْسَ تَخْرُجُ مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. For example, one of the gods will say, I want the sun to rise from the east, the west, afwan, Maghrib from the west. وَالثَّانِ يَقُولُ أُرِيدُهَا تَطْلُعُ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ. And the other one say, no, I want the sun to rise from the east. طيب. وَاتِّفَاقُ الْإِرَادَتَيْنِ بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا. For both of them to agree is far-fetched, because everybody wants to run his own universe, his own stuff. وَلَا سِيَّمَ أَنَّ الْمَقَامَ مَقَامُ سُلْطَةٍ. Of course, and especially when the context is that of dominion, that of authority. فَكُلُّ وَاحِدٌ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَفْرُضَ رَأْيَهُ. Each one wants to impose his own opinion. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ لَا نُشَاهِدُ الْآنَ الشَّمْسَ تَطْلُعُ يَوْمًا مَعَ هَذَا وَيَوْمًا مَعَ هَذَا. And we see in our daily lives that the sun doesn't come from here one day and from there the other day. أَوْ يَوْمًا تَتَأَخَّرُ لِأَنَّ الثَّانِي مَنَعَهَا. Or that one day it is delayed because the other God prevented it from moving. وَيَوْمًا تَتَقَدَّمُ لِأَنَّ الْأَوَّلَ أَمَرَ الثَّانِي بِإِخْرَاجِهَا. Or that it comes earlier because the first God commanded it to come out early. فَلَا نَجِدُ هَذَا. We don't see that. نَجِدُ الْكَوْنَ كُلُّهُ وَاحِدًا مُتَنَاسِبًا مُتَنَاسِقًا. We find the whole universe in harmonious and proportional. مِمَّا يَدُلُّ دَلَالَةً ظَاهِرَةً عَلَى أَنَّ الْمُدَبِّرَ لَهُ وَاحِدٌ. Which is a clear indicative that the one who is arranging this whole affair is one. وَهُوَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And it is Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. فَبَيَّنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِدَلِيلٍ عَقْلِيٍّ أَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنُ التَّعَدُّدُ. So Allah had explained through a logical or intellectual way that they cannot be more than one God. إذ لو أمكن التعدد لحصل هذا. Had there been more than one God, then we would have this issue that was mentioned earlier. لانفصل كل واحد عن الثاني. Because each one God would want to take his own creation. وذهب كل إله بما خلق وحينئذ إما أن يعجز أحدهما عن الآخر وإما أن يعلو أحدهما الآخر. So then we go back to the same two possibilities. Either both will be weak, cannot defeat each other, or one will defeat the other and the other one is out. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْأَوَّلْ لَمْ يَصْلُحْ أَيِّنْ وَاحِدْ مِنْهُمَا لِلْأُلُهِيَّ. If it's the first, neither one deserves to be a God. وَإِنْ كَانَ الثَّانِي فَالْعَالِي هُوَ الْإِلَهِ. If it's the second, then the one who's dominant is the true God. وَحِينَئِذٍ يَكُونُ الْإِلَهُ وَاحِدًا. Then the إِلَهَ عَفْوًا وَاحِدًا. In such case, then the God will be one. فَإِنْ قِيلَ أَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَصْطَلِحَا وَيَنْفَرِدُ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ. If one will say, as a possible refutation, what if these gods, you know, they were all right? They worked it out with each other. There was no disagreement. They had a tact between them that, you know, everything will run fine. And each one took his own creation on his own. فَالْجَوَابَ أَنَّهُ لَوْ أَمْكَنْ وَوَقَعْ لَزِيمَ أَنْ يَخْتَلَّ نِظَامَ الْعَالَمِ. We say, had this happened and it ever existed, then the harmony of the universe will be inconsistent. There will be lack of harmony. ثُمَّ أَنَّ اصْطِلَاحَهُمَا لَا يَكُنُ إِلَّا لِخَوْفٍ كُلُّ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْهُمَا مِنَ الْآخَرِ. Secondly, the reason why they would ever have attacked between each other is because of the fear that one will have to the other. Trying to keep peace, right? They're just trying to keep peace, they don't want any trouble. وَحِينَئِذٍ لَا تَصْلُحُ الرُّبُوبِيَّةُ لِوَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا. Then it's not befitting that either one of them can be a God, because now he has a quality of fearing the other God. لِعَزِّي عَنْ مُقَوَامَةِ الْآخَرِ. Because he's incapable to compete against the other. So, that concludes that. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. Glory be to Allah above all that which they attribute to him. أي تنزيها لله عز وجل. Meaning it is acknowledgement that Allah is free from all imperfection. عما يصفه به الملحدون المشركون. Concerning that which the atheists and the mushrikeen describe Allah with. يقولون في الله سبحانه وتعالى ما لا يليق به. They describe Allah with that which does not befit His Majesty. عالم الغيب والشهادة. الغيب ما غاب عن الناس والشهادة ما شهده الناس. The knower of the seen, the unseen and the seen. الغيب is whatever has been hidden from the people, and شهادة whatever has been witnessed by the people. فتعالى عما يشركون. تعالى meaning he exalted ترفع وتقدس وتنزه, meaning he is exalted, he's extolled, he's purified, he's holy سبحانه وتعالى. عما يشركون, عن الأصنام التي جعلوها آلهة مع الله تعالى, from the idols which they had made as gods equal with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وفي هاتين الصفتين, وفي هاتين الآتين من صفات النفي, تنزه الله تعالى عن اتخاذ الولد الذي وصفه به الكافرون, وعن الشريك له في الألوهية الذي أشرك به المشركون. And in these two negating qualities, we learn the following. First, that Allah is free from taking up a son, which was described to him by the kuffar, and that Allah is free from having partners in his divinity, which is something that the mushrikeen had ascribed to Allah by worshipping others alongside with him. وهذا النفي لكمال غناه وكمال ربوبيته وإلهيته. And this negation is due to Allah's perfect self-sufficiency and the perfection of Allah's lordship and him being the true divine God. ونستفيد منهما من الناحية المسلكية أن الإيمان بذلك يحمل الإنسان على الإخلاص لله عز وجل. The practical benefit is that belief in such a thing will force the son of Adam to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that we will conclude inshallah. We still have an ayah, the 11th ayah, or the na'am, that was quoted by Shaykh Ibn Ibn Taymiyyah. And do not put forward similitudes for Allah. Verily Allah knows and you know not. It's an interesting discussion. And we will leave it till the next session bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. And then then right afterwards we'll start with the istiwa'ullahi ala arshihi, Allah's transcendency over his throne. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad.